Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Pacific time out here on the West Coast.
Oh, say, can you see? It's a beautiful day. Gorgeous sunshine. Oh!
Sun shining and cold.
Well, I guess.
Anyways, we are on our brand new day, Saturday, which 1 o'clock Pacific time, as I was saying earlier. And on today's program, we're going to talk a little bit about what interests us and hopefully what interests you as well. We're going to start out a little bit with gun control, new gun control laws that are coming out on the books, your opinion on those, and a little bit about TSA, plus what's going on around the community. But more importantly, we want to hear what you want to talk about, and you can tell us right now. Do it now. Now, do it.
Now. I wonder what people in Africa call. Do they call this Pacific time?
I don't know.
I'm just...
If anybody wants to send a donation, to send Cliff to Africa, to check that out.
I would love to go to Africa.
You can do that. We'll even send you the donation address to do all that stuff. But in the meantime, you can give us a call, 646-721-9887. Once again, 646-721-9887. The chat room is open right now at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And, of course, if you are one of the millions of people that do listen to us on the archives, you can still contribute to the program or your ideas by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
You know, we don't get nearly enough emails. We should get more emails. People have got to have an idea about what they want to talk about, and yet they'll never send an email.
Well, I mean, we do get some emails.
Well, I mean, very seldom. Once in a while. We should be just deluged with emails.
We should be, preferably in English.
That's a thought, too. Maybe those same people in Africa that don't have business at Pacific time.
And the one in Malaysia that keeps telling us that they have a lot of money for us, if we just go ahead and give them our bank account number.
Tell me about it. I get those every day.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about your loss of your father, and you have a whole bunch of money, but I'm not buying it. And then, of course, the thing about Viagra. Anyways. 646-721-9887 if you'd like to join the program. Last time we had a bunch of callers calling, and we got on topic about bacon.
Shut up. That happened. Don't talk about that. Just you had to bring that up, didn't you?
I know.
You had to remind people.
It's kind of silly. At time, but
yeah. Well,
we are a news talk program. We don't mind getting a little crazy once in a while, but.
But you don't remind them about it.
Well, I wasn't going to make a big deal until you just did.
Just in case they've forgotten, we'll let you know what you did wrong.
Exactly.
Anyway, there's a million things to talk about on the news. The 787 Dreamliners have got to figure out what's going on. You know, those lithium-ion batteries are a little scary, I tell you. They're grounding them because they think anyway it's the batteries. At this point, that's all they figured out. But it's kind of sad because I think probably the plane is absolutely safe. It's just that, of course, if the battery starts a fire, it's not too safe.
You mean like the laptops?
Well, I don't know if it's the same thing or not. It seems to be. And why, if that's the case, why haven't we figured this out by now? My God, how many years has it been?
Oh, did you want to answer?
Oh, I will, you know, sort of.
Sort of. I don't know.
Well, it's been a couple of years now. I've been talking about the batteries exploding or getting hot or something like that, and they haven't done anything yet about it?
Well, a lot of companies, unfortunately, they just look at how much it costs to replace them, and so they don't look into it any further than that. You know, well, if it's not blowing up, don't worry about it.
Well, the thing is, I thought it was. I thought they were starting fires. Of course, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's just getting hot and melting your laptop, in which case I'd be a little pissed.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want my laptop to melt on me. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, picky about that.
Of course, if there's something you want to put on new one every time, it's very close. And you should have more stuff back new. But I'd make sure it's all still. What is this? Echo? I can't talk.
Yeah, it just started happening again. Well, let's give Skype a moment to calm down a little bit and wait for your phone call, 646-721-9887. We'll go ahead and do a little bit of business in the meantime, so we'll get that out of the way. And what that is our sponsor, Dancing Dog Cookies. Cliff's all patriotic today because of what's going on this weekend. Exactly.
Good dog, Skippy.
Good dog, Skippy.
Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Page 2.
Okay.
Kind of an inside
joke. Meow, meow, meow.
Soundboy.
That's page 2.
Go to page 2 on their website. Dancing Dog Cookies, they're handmade by Tom and Kathy in Eugene, Oregon, and available at select stores in Eugene and available online at www.dancingdogcookies.com. That's your cue.
Oh, that's my cue. Okay. All right. I love Dancing Dog Cookies, but I don't make dog cookies very well. They come out. Well, I'll just make regular cookies and let the dogs eat them if they want to.
Of course, every time they give us samples, they disappear real quick because.
Well, if they are as good as they say they are, I tell you, I haven't tried all of them. It's just, you know, whatever.
Anyway, check them out. Anyways, dancingdogcookies.com. As we started saying, we're talking about the Dreamliners and the batteries. Saying that the biggest risk of the batteries, because in a sense to exploding, they say it's like a firecracker instead of a stick of dynamite. I guess they short out and fire, kind of like the problem that they had with the laptops a while back. That was that recall. And that is one issue that, if you look at the big picture regarding batteries, we have a lot of the hybrid cars that are relying on battery technology. And I think wasn't it Chevy Volt that had an issue with their batteries catching on fire?
I don't remember that. Oh, it's possible. I can just see it now. Just driving on down the road and your seat catches on fire.
Exactly. Well, if you look at the size of the battery cables that they have on the hybrid cars and stuff, I mean, there's a lot of current. Well, just in your regular car battery, you know, when you look at 400 cranking amps, that's 400 amps. That's why the thing, if you're dumb enough and you put a wrench across the battery, the thing will weld itself together and then, of course, melt the wrench in half, and then, assuming the battery hasn't exploded by that time,
Yeah, that's, you know, batteries are actually quite powerful things when you get right down to it. And lithium-ion batteries, you know, a 400-amp battery is a 400-amp battery. It doesn't make a difference what kind of it is. But I don't know. I just you'd think by now, I mean, we've got lithium-ion batteries everywhere. And we should have them all figured out by now. I know one thing that happens that's happening to me right now with lithium-ion batteries, they only last just so long. After about a couple of years, they start holding their charge less and less and less. And I use a battery-operated radio, and I listen to the radio at night all night long. And I've been doing this for about 3 years now. My batteries are I only get about 2 days. It's good for. So I'm sad. I mean, it's no big thing because they're not that expensive. I'm using AA batteries, four of them at a time, and I've got 12 of them in this series. But they are not lasting as long as they used to.
Well, and, you know, battery technology has changed. In fact, according to an article in the LA Times, they're saying that tens of thousands of laptop batteries have been recalled due to the risk of fire or explosion. The 400-pound lithium-ion battery on the General Motors cutting-edge electric car, that's their words, not mine, the Chevy Volt burst into flames seemingly spontaneously while parked in 2011. Investigators blamed a cargo hold full of lithium-ion batteries for the fire that caused a UPS-operated 747 to crash shortly after takeoff from Dubai in late 2010.
Really? I don't remember hearing about that. I probably did, but I don't remember it.
It says this month, new rules took effect limiting the transport of lithium-ion batteries in aircraft, and the FAA had long prohibited use of the technology in commercial airplanes.
But wait a minute. The 787 is a commercial airplane, isn't it?
I would think so, yeah.
And they just had a problem with lithium-ion batteries. So what happened to the limited technology, the limited use of technology?
It's a good point.
I don't know. I how can you not use them? Because that's the cutting edge. I would hope they'd come up with something soon.
Well, battery technology is, just like any technology, you know, it's growing year after year.
Well, we may have to go back to nickel metal hydride or something like that, because at least it didn't blow up.
No, and that brings up the other point about hybrid cars and electric cars. No matter what type of chemical or what you're making the battery out of, it's still a toxic material. What do you do with it if you have millions of cars on the road and it's time to retire those cars?
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought of that. They have to have a rule, a law, of what you can do to the battery before you get rid of the car.
Exactly. So
it's just another charge. You want to get rid of your car, you got to pay to get rid of your car. Of course, you have to anyway. No. I don't know. You pay for everything.
Well, you'd be paying going and buy a soda or water, you'd be paying a deposit on your car.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, a deposit on something. But yeah, I can see it. I don't know. It's they've got to fix it. That's the thing. I just can't imagine a whole country as fantastic as ours can't figure this out. Of course, very seldom, very very little of the technology is made in the United States.
Well, I can just see it too. Is that people start stealing your cars for the deposit?
It does kind of get funny, doesn't it?
Well, they're stealing copper wiring out of buildings, you know, for the money for copper.
It's really sad. It really is. We've gotten to this problem. We've lowered ourselves to this database. I mean, stealing the wiring right out of houses. It just can't be worth that much.
Well, it's worth enough that last month there was a picture in the Oregonian, the Portland newspaper, where somebody decided to steal the wiring out of a church, and they went to the mains with a pair of bolt cutters and found out why that wasn't a good idea.
Good.
The article didn't say what happened to the guy that did it, but I'm sure that...
I can wish.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, anybody stupid enough to do that, I should think they would have enough smarts to know when to shut off or where to shut it off.
Well, of course, that also created new laws. If you have any wiring or any copper you want to turn in, now you got to identify yourself. And you know.
Yeah, really. It makes things much more difficult for the I was going to say legitimate among us, the reasonable among the non-crooks among us, to get along.
Yeah. That's part of the quote-unquote recovering economy, where they say that, oh, I think we're going back into a recession again. Really? I don't think we ever came out of one.
I think we are. I think we are coming out of it, and a little bit at a time. I really think the economy is actually doing, I was going to say a lot better, but just a little bit better, let's put it that way. And I think it's continuing to do that, and I think it will continue to do that, and it'll do it regardless of what Obama has to do, regardless of how he tries to screw us up.
Yeah. With all the... all the executive orders that he's doing this year and everything else that he's trying to do with gun control.
Okay, wait a minute on these executive orders. We just looked that up, and I just looked that up. And Obama has actually done less than almost any other president. You go way back, for example, FDR, he did 450 a year. And Obama's only doing maximum of 54 a year, average of 42 a year. So really, we aren't that bad off. It's just that he's doing it and talking about it. Even Bush, George Bush, did more than Obama did, but he didn't talk about him.
Yeah, but Obama still has time to do something. You know,
he just screwed up even worse.
That's right. He's got plenty of time to mess with us now that.
But we've, you know, let's give him credit. Let's give him a chance. He may be on the right track. He may be trying to be a good guy. He may be actually trying to accomplish something. I don't know. Right now, this economy, the economic thing that he's got going with the taxes and things like that, we've got huge spending cuts in this fiscal cliff that we're going to go over. And I hope we do. Because most of those are actually good. But, you know, one of the biggest places that you have cuts coming up is defense. And that's one of the biggest places we should have cuts coming up. We're spending way more than we need to on defense.
Yeah, but if we don't spend money on defense, how can we have the killer tech robots that are going to go out and replace our troops?
Maybe we shouldn't have quite so many of them.
Maybe we shouldn't make war so clean.
Well, that's true too. That's another story entirely, and that's another entire program that we should do after I can figure out how to talk off because of the echoes on. But I don't know. The thing is, I'm so upset about echoes. I can't remember anything.
About defense spending. It's been a technology interesting day, folks. If you kind of notice that we're not exactly in the groove today, well, Cause it, like right now in the studio here, I got things going in the background that are, we had one computer fail. It got coaxed back up about 30 minutes before the program. We got other stuff going on. I don't have the monitor in the background. I'm trying to get that working well while we're doing it. So that's my lame excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, heaven forbid that you don't have all your monitors.
That's right. And your lame excuse for not dialing 646-721-9887. I'm willing to have you call and tell us what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, please call us and tell us what it is. 646-721-9887.
And also, feel free to send us an email, too, about our new Saturday time. And it kind of goes along with the day job, but, more importantly is we need to know how you feel about it. You can send us emails, talk@krbnradio.com.
Or just call us.
Or just call us.
646-721-9887. If you just call us, then you can tell us about it.
That's right. Do it.
Good, bad, or indifferent. You can tell us or tell us off.
Yeah. I want to touch a little bit on the new gun control thing. What's the old saying about locking the barn door after the horse got out?
Well, this is so far after the horse got out. I mean, we've gotten more guns in the United States than all other countries combined.
Well, and I think that that's one of the reasons, my personal opinion, is one of the reasons why we still have some of the freedoms that we have today, because nobody knows exactly who has them and how many guns we have.
And that's why we have the freedoms? I don't quite understand that. You're saying that because we don't know how many people have guns, we better obey the law because somebody will shoot us?
No, is that one of the reasons why other countries haven't attacked us? Because they don't know how many armaments we have. Local governments, they don't know. I mean, even though they have their... Well, the thing... Okay, yes and no. Let me backstep for a moment, because if they go one-on-one, say if there is a local attack, say government gone wild, which is probably a new video. Government gone wild.
Yeah.
Come see John Boehner. No, never mind. Government gone wild.
Or government with their shirt off.
When they come in at 2 o'clock in the morning and they go for individuals, well, they're prepared with an army and their SWAT teams, and they can take one person or one family out easily. Or like just one, what was that group in Oregon that, I'm going to say Koresh's or something like that. But anyways, they can handle that. But my point is that even people that have lots of guns, I seriously doubt, say if our government did decide martial law and did decide to take over, that we would actually stand up and fight. A few people will, but I think as a group, I don't think we would.
I see what you're saying about the government. I don't see that happening. Our government is... See, it's not like our government is one person. We don't have a king. We have so many people involved in the government that they can't even figure out how to do things themselves. They can't make a decision of their own. So they're not going to decide anything like that. Try to get something done when you've got to persuade 535 people to do it.
Well, okay. I'll argue that point. How many times have we heard Congress beg the president to declare that what they're doing overseas is a war, so that the Congress can actually, to invoke the War Powers Act, so the Congress can actually have an opinion on it?
Well, I believe that the Congress can declare war, too. It doesn't have to be just the president. It's the president who's declaring it without Congress that's illegal.
That's my point. But whether he declares it or not, he's doing it.
Well, again, I say you try to convince 435 people to do anything. And the fact is that he can do it. He isn't convincing anybody of anything. He's just plain doing it come hell or high water. And nobody's working together, the Congress working together, to stop him. They're just letting him do it. But
that's my point. The point is that the president can, without Congress's approval, can send troops anywhere he wants to send them, overseas, put boots on the ground, and Congress can't do anything until there's a time limit. I forget what it is, 100 days or something like that. And until he invokes the War Powers Act, then Congress can step in. I'm trying to look.
I'm going to leave that alone because you're talking about things that I don't know about. I've never heard of that.
You mean I found something you don't know about?
I shouldn't have said that. I mean, this business of declaring war and not declaring war, we haven't declared war. Nobody has declared war. We've just gone out and done things. And again, we just went through an election, and we were, as a people, we are stupid enough, we didn't change the people in any of these, well, not in very many of these positions, and so we left them in there. And that's, you know, are we going to learn ever? Maybe not. And maybe this is the wrong place to be. The United States is not that great a country to be in because we're stupid.
No, it was summed up quite well by a couple talk show hosts, is that, and I think it was Rush Limbaugh that really said it, that who's going to vote against Santa Claus?
I want my Obama phone. I'm going to vote for Obama because he gave me a free Obama phone.
But he didn't.
No, he didn't. But it got spun that way. The act that that lady was talking about had been, in fact, it was invoked at just before Obama got elected in 2008, and it's part of the Low Income Communications Act, which is what you pay every month on as part of your cell phone and phone bill. But it somehow got dubbed as, because it's low income, and she got a free phone.
That's what I'm talking about. We are so stupid that we are lulled into these things. We don't bother to look at it. We've got more possible. We've got the best communication system in the world. We've got the best possible research things in the world right in front of us on a screen, and yet we're too stupid to do it.
Oh, you mean Al Gore's internet?
Yes, thank you. Thank God he invented this.
That's right, because, you know, Cliff, if it's on the internet, it must be true.
Well, and I know that because they've even got a commercial on television now.
No.
Says that it's true.
True. Exactly. I'm just.
Excuse me, I was just drunk. Okay. But just ridiculous. In other words, we are just lazy, and we deserve everything we're going to get, and we're going to get it. I mean, we're liable. I was thinking that we were going to lose everything. We're going to have the economy, the collapse in the United States, but it's not doing it. You know, we are so big and so, what I want to say, so involved that you can't stop it.
Oh, you're saying just like AIG or whatever, or that the country is too big to fail?
Well, sort of that, yeah. I guess that's what I'm saying, isn't it? Too big to fail, because if it does start to fail, something, someone, somewhere, we'll do something to fix that little part of it, and it'll continue on. I mean, we don't ever fix anything totally, but we do fix little bits of it, as they individually fail.
So as we are going up to the fiscal cliff, or if we haven't gone over it yet, we have spending that is exceeding the amount of money coming in.
Well, that's going to go on and on and on, and that's going to continue on because until, you see, it's too many people are doing it. It's not just the president. It's not just the federal government. Everybody's doing it. We've got city governments that are handing out more money in pensions than they got coming in. We've got school districts that are handing more money out in pensions than they got coming in. We've got everybody's doing it. And everybody thinks, well, I'm doing it. I'm the only one that's doing it, so I'm going to get away with it. Well, it's not going to happen. Sooner or later, somebody's going to get caught. And we have to have enough people get caught that something collapses. Something has to get really bad, and it hasn't done it yet. And I thought we were right on the verge of something collapsing, but it isn't, and we haven't been. And it's fixing itself. So we're going to have to live through a lot worse and a lot more than we're living through now. And we're going to have to like it because we're too stupid and too lazy to do something about it.
Well, until everything hits bottom. Like, for example, I'm looking it up real quick here, the new mortgage regulations that are going to go into effect in 2013, where it requires you to have, to qualify for a home mortgage, I believe it's 40, your mortgage cannot exceed 47% of your gross income.
Yeah, but what's that going to do? That's not going to do anything. Everybody's just going to live in rented homes.
Yeah.
Well, see, I've done that all the time anyway. I've always lived in a rented home, and that way I've not thrown away any money. I mean, actually, I've thrown away all of my money, or I've not thrown away any of my money, however I want to look at it, because I've not gone for 4 years thinking I had something, only to find out at the end I don't, because something collapses and I have nothing. I mean, the thing that's going to have to collapse is the stock market.
Well, and that's very possible as well.
I know. That's very possible. I'm just absolutely astounded at how long we've gone with the stock market. See, the stock market is nothing but gambling. And we seem to be, again, it's another one of these cases where we let it go so far and something fails, and we fix that something and then continue on. We just fix little pieces of it here and there and then continue on going over the cliff. And I'm not talking about the cliff that we're talking, that they're talking about in the news at the moment, but because that's a stupid thing, that fiscal cliff that we're talking about going over. That's something, again, you notice that it was supposed to be at the first of the year, and now it's moved ahead for 3 months. And when that's done, it'll move ahead again for 3 months. And then they'll fix a little part of it and change it, and it'll be all okay. It's just still, because that's not real. That's nothing but somebody's made-up thing. Somebody came up, they had to have an idea, a way. I'll say that it's the media. The media gave it that name, and the media had to some, and the only reason they gave it that name is they had to have something to call it. But the media didn't invent it. The media didn't come up with the idea. They just had to have something to call it.
I know what to call it. Screwy.
Well, that's true. You can do that if you want to, but we're not doing anything about it, is the point. We're going to let it, 3 months from now, we're going to sit there and we're going to look at that and we're just giving Obama time to come up with ways to think about it and change it. It's just stupid. I mean, we just haven't gotten to rock bottom yet. We haven't hit the bottom, and the whole thing hasn't collapsed. And until it does, and it may not ever collapse. We may live on the edge of this thing forever, and it's going to hurt forever. But as far as, you know, they're talking about how much money we're spending that we don't have, or how much money we're borrowing that we don't have, all we're doing is screwing the citizens of our own country, because we're not going to be able to pay them back. And it's I'm old enough now that in a few years they're going to not be able to pay me, but I'm old enough now I may be dead by then because I'm ancient. So consequently, that is not going to be a problem for me, I don't think. But that's what's coming next. When we really start to really tick people off, and when we get to the point that we can't pay Social Security, those are the people, first of all, there's a lot of them, and second of all, those are the people who do something about it. They're the people who, when something happens, they get pissed off and they act. And you're gonna mess up the Social Security, and people are gonna stop getting their Social Security, and they're gonna raise hell.
Well, that's what I was always saying, is that until the Obama administration, most of us, well, okay, I'm not gonna say most of people, help, but we're struggling to get along with our everyday lives. We don't have time to get involved in the government and what's going on, except it's locally, like, you know, if it affects, like, say, new fees, it's going to cost us more money or something. But unless it's really in our face, we don't look at it. And a lot of things this last year, this last administration, have been in our face. And the thing about with the fiscal cliff and the fiscal cliff.
Yeah.
And which is in resulting, because the only way the government can get more money is to raise taxes, fees, or create new taxes and fees. And so ultimately it costs us.
You see, that's where we have a disagreement there, because that's the only way we can get more money, but the way we should be figuring is not to be getting more money. We should be figuring out how to spend less money and thus ending up with the same thing.
Well, and that's part of the arguments that they've been making in Congress, is to control spending, spend more smartly.
Well, see, that's I figure we've got a problem here, and it's our problem. That's what I'm saying. Congress is our problem now. We didn't change Congress. We had the opportunity to do that. We had the opportunity to change the people that are in there and change how they think and how they feel. Instead, we left them the same, and we still got the same group of people fighting about the same things. It's so stupid that we have the left and the right fighting against each other. It's not supposed to happen that way. We're supposed to be cooperative and a little more thinking. And we don't think. We're not thinking. We're just sitting there acting like little school kids and fighting about this whole thing. And it's just stupid. But the thing is, we as a general public elected or passed this election and left the same people in there and didn't do anything about it. So now it's our fault. Now it is absolutely, as far as I'm concerned, it's our fault. So for us to sit there and argue and scream and yell and complain about it, it's tough luck. We did it to ourselves. Now we've got to figure out in 4 years. That's why I've been sitting here taking the attitude, let's sit back and let it happen. Let's sit back. I mean, I'm not going to talk about what the president is doing. Obama may have his way of doing things, whether it's executive orders or something. And I've just discovered that he is not the one with numbers of executive orders. Go back to the beginning, and of course, FDR, he did 400 of them a year. That's huge numbers. But, I mean, so obviously it doesn't mean anything. But the thing is, it's now our fault. And so now as far as I'm concerned, we've got to wait until it collapses and we do something about it, or until we get enough smarts that we're pissed off enough that we can do something about it. But we've got to do something about it. It's we the people, you know?
Well, and just like a comment that we have in the chat room, that it's politicians, they don't give a crap about the American people. Well, in my opinion, they look at the American people as a bunch of idiots. I mean, just like the gun control signing, a law that Obama's signing, the photo op, or he's got a bunch of kids around it. They're trying to sell it as, well, we need to sign these laws because it protects the children. Is that people get riled up over something, and then something, a soundbite comes out in the news, and it's it either distracts people or just says, okay, everything's okay now.
Well, in the first place, to have the children behind there, and to it would be better off if we'd actually ask the children what to do and listen to them, because I'll bet you they'd have better ideas than we do and than he does. But we don't do that. We just put them on there as pictures and in the background and use them. And so we're not accomplishing anything with that. But we're just, I don't know, it's just still, it's our fault. We've gone through the election, we've let it happen, we've not done anything to try to change it, and consequently, now we're going to live through the consequences of it. But it looks like, at this particular point, the consequences may not be bad. They may slowly but surely get better. The economy may slowly but surely be getting better. As far as, we talk about all of these shootings and all of these tragedies that are taking place. You know, the thing is, there's not that many. The only thing that we're doing now is our media is so good, our communication system is so good that we hear about all of them. And then there's no more than there has ever been. Right now, it happens to be a big spurt of schools, people are doing things in schools. Well, the simple fact, the media talks about it so much that it gives everybody the idea. And so people who didn't have the idea before, but do pay attention, or do at least, you don't even have to pay attention. When the news media gets a hold of something, they go so intense with it and so carried away with it, you can't hardly get away from it. And so you're going to get the idea. So some loony somewhere is going to get the idea, oh, God, I'll go shoot the school. I was really mad at Joan the other day, and so I'm going to go shoot her. And it's no big thing. And these people don't care about what happens to themselves. You know, we talk about the whole thing has to start back from the beginning, and we have to have idea that we have to bring our kids up with a little, our mores and our ideas are wrong. We're screwed up at the moment, and things are going to have to change. Now, what's going to change them, I don't know. It's probably not going to be God, as far as religion is or anything to do with God is concerned, because we're now at the point where we've got more people who say they don't believe in God than do. And so,
Well, I was going to challenge you one point as far as the economy. If the economy is doing so good, then how come locally here in Lane County in Oregon, especially in Eugene area, that they're saying that they don't have the money for basic services? They're cutting sheriff's patrols again. Somebody gets arrested, they're out on the street within hours because they don't have the money to house the people that they arrest.
Okay, let's think about this in a different way. They don't have the money to house the people that they arrested. How many people do we have in jail in Lane County? The fact is, we have more people in jail in the United States than again, all other countries combined. We depend on other people. We don't depend on ourselves. In other words, we sit back and let it happen and say, well, the cop will get them. We'll arrest him and put him in jail for the rest of life. You know, we're not doing this sort of thing. We're not paying attention. The ideas and the way individuals act around the people has got to change. And that will change, but only as soon as... See, we got more people in jail now than other countries do or ever have, and we're upset because we don't have enough. I don't have the figures because I wasn't prepared for this, but we've got more people or more jails than I think any other country. And we've been doing this wrong. This isn't the way it's supposed to happen. We're supposed to be a part of this. The individuals, the population is supposed to be a part of this thing. It's not just all us against them. And we're doing it wrong. We've got to change our intent and the way we go about things.
Well, so far, by the way, in Lane County, it's 381 people in the Lane County facility. I don't know what's capacity yet. But it brings up the point. When the economy is bad, there is more crime.
Well, I agree with that to a certain extent. The economy is, but it's not this bad. The bad economy is not what's doing this. The bad economy is to a certain extent because when you're broke, you're broke, and when you need to eat, you need to eat. So consequently, that's a problem. We need to have our churches and our different organizations stepping up at a much faster rate to help with people than we do now. But the thing is, it shouldn't have gotten to this point in the first place. We shouldn't have the police department doing everything for us. We shouldn't have the county. We shouldn't have the state. We shouldn't have the federal government. We're expecting somebody else to do it.
I'm expecting them to do basic services. I'm not expecting them to do a bunch of foo-foo stuff, but I'm expecting them to at least have the money to maintain, like, for example, roads, protection of the public, which is one of their primary services, and not get involved in too much other stuff. But they appear that they can't even do that. And especially like here in Lane County, the DA a couple years ago published a list in the newspaper of 100 crimes that he will not prosecute or go after. If you have an alarm system, I'm going to say it publicly here because it's already been public. If you got an alarm system in the Eugene area, they will not investigate a home alarm. You have to send a private security company to go out to look at it and to validate that it is an alarm. Now that gets out, you know, the 5-minute response time becomes an hour and a half or nothing at all. And what does that say to people that are doing bad?
I agree with that. I don't believe that the police department or the sheriff's department or any of those departments should be the one that answers any of those alarms. It should be a private company to do it. If you want to do that sort of thing, you should have it privately done. And I absolutely agree with the way it's being done.
Exactly. And as we're talking in the chat room here, says what we're doing wrong is we're not getting tougher on convicted criminals when we put them in prison. Well, maybe we should follow Arizona's example.
What we should do is probably decide what is a convicted criminal. We are convicted criminals of stupid things. We're our rules and laws and things are going way too far. It should be, you know, they should be, once they're convicted, and it should be very hard to be convicted of anything, but when you are, then yes, it should be, you know, I'm going to be in trouble because as far as I'm concerned, about 50% of the stuff that we put people in jail for, they should be shot, they should be killed, they should be hung, or whatever.
Okay, let me call you on that. What? Give me an example.
Well, again, wow, I wasn't prepared to do this at all. They put people in jail for stealing groceries or stealing a car or something like that. As far as I'm concerned, they shouldn't be put in jail for stealing a car. But if they're stealing a car and they shoot somebody in the process or something like that, then they should be killed.
We used to hang people for stealing horses. You know, Lane County is one of the 10 counties in the nation for car theft.
All right, I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that because you know they're not doing anything about it. You're right, but see again, just because they used to hang people for stealing horses, that doesn't mean that was right. That doesn't mean that was something we should be doing today. I mean, you know, we're talking about now, not something that happened, you know.
Well, I am talking about now. It used to be anything over $500 in value was a Class A felony. Now it's I think it's $1,000 or something like that. Stealing a car, unless it's something like a real old clunker, is worth more than $1,000. That'd be a Class A felony. Why are they treating it like it's just, oh, well, they just stole a car?
I don't think you should be able to decide what is a Class A felony by dollar amounts. Period.
How would you?
It should be what you've done in the process of committing that crime. You know, if you've just gone out and stolen a car, granted something should be done to you, but it shouldn't be anything. You know, what happened to the idea of a fine or doing, you know, there's a thousand things besides locking people up. We just go about things, doing things wrong. Locking people up is not something we should be doing, you know.
Okay.
We should.
You're homeless. You have no money. How are you going to pay a fine? And then you decide to not do the work camps or do another alternative.
Then you should be shot.
Then you should be shot. So you stole a car, or you robbed some groceries or whatever. You get fined, like say $3,000 in fines and 30 days in jail or whatever. But you don't have the $3,000 to pay the fine, and so we should shoot you.
Again, nothing is that cut and dried. Absolutely nothing is that cut and dried. And I don't believe it should be triggered by just money amounts. I mean, you've got to consider what took place in the commission of the crime. And it's not that simple.
See, now you're making my point. Now, granted, there are some what they call victimless crimes that, you know, putting somebody in jail, like say, you know, if you're a pot smoker, you know, the argument on that one, why should you go spend time in jail if you're caught smoking pot? You know, or prostitution, in a way, I call that a victimless crime because you went and volunteered to go do it and somebody volunteered on the other side. Stealing a car, however, there is a victim involved.
Yes.
Murder and anything beyond that, you know.
And if you want to go back 100 years like you were talking about and consider it, what would usually happen in that case is the other person would take his gun out and shoot you.
Exactly.
Well, exactly. You're still shot. You still get shot. And it depends on what happens. You can't make a decision on how much money or what kind of a thing. You've got to do more involved in that. And I'm saying, you know, we shouldn't have half as many people in jail for anything that we have in jail. I mean, there's a lot of other ways of getting about it. And if they don't want to go through any of the punishments that we are going to met out, then they should, you know, each time, say we fine, say they do something and they get a fine of $100, and they decide to hell with you, I'm not going to pay the $100. Then you go in and they go through it again, and they assess you with a fine of $500. You know, sooner or later, they're going to shoot you. Simple as that.
Well, if they can't pay the fine, then you put them on a work crew so that they earn the money to pay the fine.
So why would they do that? Why would they go on the work crew?
Because then at least they're producing something.
Why would they do that? Why would they agree to do that if they're not going to pay the fine? If they're not going to agree to pay the fine, why would they agree to go on the work crew?
Well, they wouldn't have a choice. You'd be in prison. And
what do you mean they wouldn't have a choice?
If you don't pay the fine, you go to jail.
Now we're back to the idea of having everybody in jail. That's our problem. We don't need that many people in jail. We've got to be more dramatic about how we take care of things. This business of just throwing people in jail and letting them sit there for 50 days or 90 days or however long they sit there, they don't have to feed themselves. It costs a huge amount of money to put somebody in jail, and yet we do it. And so we shouldn't be doing it. We shouldn't have all these jails. We should be requiring the person to pay their fine or to do whatever it is that they've been instructed to do. And if they don't do that, it's each time it gets worse. Until if they're just such a pain in the ass and such a slouch and such a no-go-getter that they shoot the person. I'm sorry. I'm really terrible. I think a lot of these things, there should be much more involved to the crime than we do.
So you're saying like for example, a repeat offender or somebody that's been in and out a half dozen times.
And regardless, see, even if they've been in, okay, going out again, like I say, if you didn't pay that $100 fine, you go back in and you're going to be fined more because you didn't pay the fine and you didn't make an attempt, then consequently you're going to be found guilty of something else, and it's going to be more of a fine until sooner or later it's going to build itself up until you're to the point that they are going to indeed shoot you. There's going to be something done. There can be ways of doing this. That, you know, there's got to be ways around. If you couldn't afford to pay the fine, and, you know, then the fine was not a legitimate fine. I mean, if it is something that you couldn't possibly do, then the punishment has to fit the person as well as the crime, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, the way we do things is not right. You can't have laws that are run by just rules. I mean, you know, the judge has to have more leeway in how to do things than they do. It can't be just set in concrete, but it's got to be more drastic than it is. In other words, something has to be different. I haven't sat down, and I can't sit down and tell you exactly because I haven't figured it out. I haven't thought about it until right now. But it's just got to change our system.
Let me read the paragraph from Lane County Correction Facilities. It says depending on the individual classification, inmates may have daily access to television and or weekly access to outside recreation. The Corrections Division provides medical, dental, psychiatric care to inmates who are in need of those services. And they also have various programs, including GED, alcohol, and drug use education and religious services.
That's, again, as far as I'm concerned, all the more reason not to have them in jail. Not even to have the jail. You know, you're not changing anybody's idea. You're not changing anybody's way of doing things. You're not changing anybody's mind about being a crook. It's actually you're lulling them into the idea I can do this and get away with it, and then while I'm in jail I just kind of lull my way through and then I go back out and do something else. I mean, nothing has happened, nothing is fixed, and it's all wrong. We've got to come up with a different way of chastising or people that means something to them.
Well, when the weather gets cold, that's when crime goes up. Just little stuff so they can go to jail. People that's been in and out of the system because the system, it used to be, you know, the threat of going to jail put chills up your spine. You know, and I guess that, you know, the people have been in it, and there's some people that as soon as they get out, that's all they know, and they can't wait to get back into it.
Then possibly we aren't doing things right in jail. Perhaps things should be changed in jail. Maybe what's in, you know, jail should be scary, and it's not.
I agree, but also it kind of gets back to one of our main topics today with the gun control laws. You know, one of the deterrent of somebody, say, breaking into your house is not knowing whether or not you have a gun in your house. You know, they're talking about publishing lists of legal gun owners. Well, again, all these new laws do, they just restrict the people that are legally gun owners, the law-abiding ones that don't cause problems. You know, how you going to, I mean, the name of the school escapes me for, or the theater, for example, you can put a sign out front saying no weapons. That's not going to stop. It's like, okay, I'm going to go out and kill people. Oh, I can't because there's a sign there that says I can't.
Well, that's stupid because you know in a school there's no weapons involved. There can't be any weapons in the school. And it's sort of ridiculous because nobody had weapons in the school. He took them into the school. He didn't have them in the school. He took them in for this particular purpose. The guy that went to the theater took these weapons in. As a matter of fact, he went out and got some weapons because they weren't big enough, the ones he had in the first place. This is not... You can't. This has got, of course, in the first place, this idea of the people who did both of these crimes you can't participate, can't foresee either one of them doing it. These people were not responsible for what they did. They should have been in some sort of a institution, but they weren't. And it turns out that all, in both cases, in every instance, people have ignored what's going on. People have ignored what's around them. Nobody is paying attention to their neighbor or what's going on. So consequently, they can do anything you want to. And when you can't anticipate either one of these cases happening, or a lot of these things. You know, a lot of shootings happen. I don't know if you know it or not, but we have over 1,000 shootings a month. People killed by gunshots a month in the United States. But you can't, 90% of those, 80%, well, I don't know what percentage-wise, but a bunch of those are of people that are mentally unstable. And we've known about most of these mentally unstable. We try to hide this. In other words, we send them to a shrink, and the shrink talks to them. And by the way, I think does absolutely nothing for them. I don't know of any shrink or anybody that's been to a shrink that I know of that's ever been cured or even helped by it. But the point is, they do hide it. They do keep it from you. And we're doing this all the time. And that's just the wrong way of going about things. You know, I take in, you said something about painting the face pink or something like that. I don't know what it was. But okay, I don't know about pink underwear, but it has to be something that's obvious. You got to make people wear something. You got to make people aware that person is not well. And if he's so well that he shouldn't be out there among the people, then we should put him somewhere else. But people who do things, you've got to have a shame process. I mean, I'm not going to sit. I'm trying to.
Are you saying we should go back to the stocks where, well, like what they did with that kid that from the U.S. that was overseas, and I think he egged a car, and they had a public. What do they call it? Not lynching, but flogging.
The flogging part of it I don't agree with. But the putting up in public humility, public humiliation, that I do agree with. Because that's going to go with him and stay with him. The flogging is, you're getting back to punishment by pain or by, that doesn't accomplish anything. It lasts, 5 minutes and then it's over. You've got to do something that makes them think about it and makes them think about what they've done and who they are and perhaps maybe change who they are. But, less spanking them is not it.
Putting up on stocks in his town square going, John Smith of San Diego, California.
That's possible.
And let him sit for a day.
That's fine. That's fine. That's okay.
But then the ACLU would say that's cruel. And
the ACLU should be shot. I'm going to be real, real stupid about all of this, but the ACLU is not something that should be here at all.
Okay. Why?
Because they do stupid things like that. There are the things that we, I'm going to stop because I'm going to get myself into trouble, and I'm not going to argue this anymore.
Well, and our person in the chat room says that we should also publish them in the newspaper, like what they're doing with John's for prostitution, embarrassing. But then I suppose
prostitution shouldn't even be a crime.
Well, like I said, that's a victimless crime, and the fact that we are putting a lot of resources in the Eugene Springfield area to curb prostitution and. Springfield is so. They have a 7-member prosecution gang in Springfield for a population of 45,000. It's like, leave Rita alone. We only have like 3 prostitutes.
It shouldn't even be a crime. It shouldn't be a crime at all. If it's a victimless crime, it's not a crime.
course, again, that gets down to what, well, the definition of victimless.
Well, what is? If they both sides of it, both people involved agree. Now, and it's to each other. I mean, if they both agree that they want to shoot someone, that's another thing. But if they both agree to do the thing, and prostitution should not be a crime.
No, I agree with that. I mean, kind of in a sense, like the chat room saying, follow Nevada's things where they got to go through and at least get their health card, make sure you know that they're clean. But yeah, it's an agreement between two adults. You know, people over 18, I would make that requirement. But you know, once you're an adult,
I'm not even sure that I agree with the health card thing. If you're stupid enough to go to a prostitute and that prostitute is not clean and you get some sort of disease, you're stupid enough to do that. You're stupid enough to live with it. I mean, or die with it. I don't care. But
yeah.
that's your problem. And no, it should be not be up to the government, federal government, whatever government, any government, to see to it that prostitute is male or female is clean, because that's your problem. That's your situation. You want to. Then there's got to be a way for you to find out if that person is clean. In other words, there should be an organization that allows the prostitute to have a badge or something that proves that they've been tested. But it should not be up to the federal government or any government to do that. It should be just up to them. I mean,
coming from society for a clean prostitute.
Right, that's fine. That's fine. See, I don't believe that prostitution is a crime. I mean, if you want to do it and if the other person wants you to do it, then you're both going to take the consequences. That's the name of the game. That's consequences are how it works. That's maybe that's what I've been looking for as a word that I'm looking forward for as far as punishment is concerned, is natural consequences.
Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, getting back to gun control, if somebody goes into a school or they go into a theater, and chances are that nobody or very few people are carrying guns, you can do whatever you want and know that there's not going to be any consequences to you. You can get away with it. But if you walk into, like I've seen in some movies where these idiots walk into a bar that's where a lot of cops hang out and they try to rob it, next thing they know everybody in the facility has a gun to their face, they're going to think twice about it because you know, I guess what I'm saying is that if you know there's going to be consequences by your action, I mean, it's like going out there and shooting birds. You're going to shoot a bird if you know the bird can shoot back?
True. And I agree with that. I mean, I kind of very upset that it plays right into the gun coalition's actions. But, yes, that's fine. I think for all of us to go and run around carrying guns, that's fine with me. I don't mind that a bit. Of course, as long as we do have some sort of a way of testing, giving a test to find out if they should have a gun. In other words, if they are mentally unstable, I'm not sure I want them having guns. But then how do we know that unless we can test them? So buying a gun requires having some sort of a test.
Well, I agree with that. Having a test, a background check, and also requiring a gun safety course, definitely I recommend that, because some people don't even know which end of the gun to stand in front of. Or not.
Well, I don't know if I even recommend that. I mean, that's it's a good idea and not a good idea. But no, that's I don't think that's necessary.
Well, yeah. Well, anyways, we'll agree to disagree on that one.
Well, anybody that's stupid enough that doesn't know that you pick up a gun and which end the bullet comes out and which you make the bullet come out, that's if you're stupid enough not to know that, then you're not stupid enough to own the gun. I mean, that you're not smart enough to own the gun, rather. Then we need to put you in an institution. Because if you don't know how to make a gun work, then you should not be free.
Exactly. And to read what's going on in the chat room. Tig McFay was a ex-Army with a clean background. So, I mean, just because somebody's got a good background doesn't mean that they're not going to do something stupid.
Well, that's true. That's true. And you can't make that decision for anybody because, you know, a very, very good person could be sitting there and buy a gun and be very, very stable and when they buy the gun. But then something happens and they get pissed off at something and they get pissed off enough and they're going to use the gun. And when they use the gun, then they're unstable. But I agree, you can't tell what the person is going to do. You can't tell anything. But then they don't have to have a gun to do that. They could do it with a knife or they could do it with a brick. I mean, and you get mad enough. And so consequently, you can't control that. But you can, most people that have done this sort of thing, that have committed these crimes, have a history of being unstable. And people know that. And consequently, of course, see, like this last guy, that his mother bought the guns. He didn't buy the guns. And she was quite, she was quite stable. She didn't do anything wrong. And so consequently, he went out and took her guns. Well, we knew that he was not well, and we knew that he was not stable. She did. People around him knew that. But they didn't, of course, you can't control the things all the time. And there are things that slip through the cracks. But
even if you took away all the guns, for example, like you're talking in the chat room, baseball bats, there's more weapons than just guns. And if you can get a hold of a bullet, you can make a makeshift gun. Not that difficult to do.
Well, it's just too easy to do anything with it. I mean, you don't need a gun. You know, everything can be a weapon. If a person has that intention and has that inclination, then you've got to watch the person. You've got to, you don't watch the guns. You don't watch the weapons. You watch the person.
Exactly. Just like Senator Marco Rubio of Florida says, nothing the president is proposing would have stopped the massacre at Sandy Hook rather than sweeping measures that make it harder for responsible law-abiding citizens to purchase firearms. We should focus on the root cause of gun violence and keep guns out of the hands of criminals and the mentally ill.
There you go. There you go. And that's see, this is all bordering on the changes of how we should act as a society. We are not prepared to act as a society. Our society is changing so radically that, I agree we should go back to everybody having guns. I find nothing wrong with that, and maybe that'll take us back to a position of thinking twice before we do some of these things and paying attention to some of these people that we haven't been paying attention to for too long. And maybe we should do that. Maybe we should go back and the thing is, I keep thinking of the fact that, well, I guess I got to consider how it's our country and how we're doing things. I was thinking of the fact that other countries don't have this problem, and they don't have these guns, and they don't have the problem with it. But the thing is, we are there. We've already gone well along the road to getting the way we are, so now we're going to do something about it. And as far as I'm concerned, guns can be the answer, not the problem.
Well, I agree. I mean, if you take – I don't have the stats in front of me, but if you take a look at some of the countries that have outlawed even owning a gun.
Which is almost all of them.
Yeah. How's the crime statistics there?
Well, see, that's what I was saying. The crime statistics are different. There are not as many gunshots or deaths by gun, but they're by other things. So it's just a different thing. We've got to look at our country, not other countries, and we've got to not compare us with other countries because we aren't the same. We're radically different.
Well, yeah, I mean, apples to oranges, or however you want to compare it. But like we were talking about earlier, whether it's a gun, whether it's a baseball cap, not a baseball cap. I'm going to hit you with my baseball cap, baseball bat. Anything can be a weapon. I mean, if you want to get right down to it, How many people do cars kill every year? Should we ban all cars? Because
they're far worse, far worse. Yeah, that the only thing we can do there is ban all cars over 500 pounds.
Well, there you go. Everybody be riding a little pedal pusher type
car.
Right,
but they wouldn't be killing each other. It's harder to kill. But it's harder to kill another person with a 300 or 500 pound tricycle.
Well, you know, people can get seriously hurt with a Nerf.
Yeah. Well, like I was going to say, you made a mistake of saying a baseball cap. Yeah, you could kill somebody with a baseball cap some way. I'm sure you could find a way. You could sharpen the bill on the baseball cap and chop their head off with it.
Oh, there you go. You're watching too many James Bond movies again.
Really? That's true. I mean, it's the thing is, I agree. I've just decided that I agree. We should open up the gun thing and make more people have guns. I don't even think they have to be. If you have them hidden, that's fine. If you have them out in the open, that's fine. Doesn't make any difference. You just should assume that person that you're mad at and that you're going to hit has got a gun, and he's going to waste you.
That's right. Speaking of assuming, we got 13 minutes remaining in the program. How'd they get a hold of us, Cliff?
Oh, they got a hold of us by 646. It's easy number to call. 646-721-9887. Now, you have these little buttons on your phone that you push, these little buttons, and you push them in that order, and the presser will get the phone call, and we'll be able to talk to you. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call, and do it now.
Exactly. And if you've never called a talk show before, this is actually a good venue to do it. You just don't like the fact that we're broadcasting to a worldwide audience and millions of people may be listening to you, bother you, but you dial the number 646-721-9887, push the number 1. Or if you are on the road and you want to listen to us live, you can do that as well and just don't push the number 1.
And let's face it, you've got to have at least as much logic behind your answers or your statements as we do. I mean, you got to be able to keep up with all the logic that we've got welling forth.
I can't keep up with our logic. How
really? It's hard to do.
It is. 6-7-2-1-9-8-8-7 on this topic or anything else on your mind in the 12 minutes we have remaining. And I did want to kind of point out a little bit about what's going on in the chat room as they're talking about anything can be made into a weapon, including an ink pen. And I was kind of talking about that. I remember, I think it was a PBS article or someone, PBS used to actually have good television, that there was inmates that were actually using playing cards, cards, and they were scraping the ink off and actually making an explosive out of it.
Oh.
Who would have thought that, the printing on a card could actually be flammable. But I guess if you think about it, even what was the material they made Volkswagen engines out of?
Well, how long ago was this thing you're talking about? Because I think the print ink on the playing cards or ink is not made out of flammable stuff anymore.
Yeah, I think they changed it. But the whole point was there was a time when they were creative enough to actually... who would have thought about, scraping ink off and seeing if it'll explode?
Yeah, really. I wouldn't have thought about it because I wouldn't have think it did, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's you can make a weapon out of almost anything if you want to, and if you want to bad enough. But more to the point, it can be your own hands. It can be one of the major weapons that's used in anything. So...
Or bad puns.
Yeah, maybe that's true too.
Your puns are killing me.
Well,
but go ahead.
I was just going to change the whole subject and I was very impressed with this guy who he's a British plumber, and he's actually made a baby stroller, and it's a steel reinforced baby stroller with a twin exhaust 10 horsepower engine on it, and a baby carriage capable of reaching highway speeds in less than 30 seconds, the world's fastest stroller. And would you ever think about going out on the freeway with a stroller? But if you want one, you could do it yourself. 125 cubic centimeter motorcycle engine is what it was they used to make the stroller. And he could do 40, 50 miles an hour on the highway.
The only thing I could think about is rolling up into DMV and trying to license it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what they have as the rules in Great Britain as to what the licenses are, maybe. But it isn't a regular baby stroller, but he can do it. I thought it was a great idea. And they've got a picture of it on the Internet if you want to go look for it and take a look for it. I don't know. You could get there lots of different ways as far as what to look at for.
Is it armed?
No. It's just a baby carriage. We're not trying to kill people with this.
Well, I think we should put guns on the cars.
No, I don't think so. I think you should have to figure out yourself how to do. You know, I understand what you're saying with the guns on cars because that's a possibility. I think just carrying a gun in the car would be quite sufficient.
Well, of course, I'm just I'm just playing with that. But you know, there are times that we'll stick with stupid darts.
Well, the thing is, though, I understand what you're saying, and some people would think that you should put guns in cars, and Bond has all kinds of ideas on how to do that. But the thing is, I think stick with the guns on the people, then. The fact that they're in the car, that's another thing. Because I'm still back to that business. I think everybody should be armed. And that means I'm going to have to change my ways because we don't have a gun.
And to go along with that, and again, I'm reading this article from ABC that was talking about the top seven things to know about the Obama's gun control. And the number three was Dan Gross's president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. He says there's an extraordinary disconnect between what the American public wants, including gun owners and our NRA members, and what our elected officials are doing about it. I have to agree with that statement because it does seem like a his and hers type of a situation, you know, what's going on in real life. But then again, we all know that D.C. is not exactly playing with a full deck anyways.
Well, when you think about it, let's say you're the president, and you keep and everything's going along, and all of a sudden you get 10,000 letters from people who are all upset about guns and what you should do with guns and all that sort of thing. And, you, of course, you're going to listen to those 10,000 letters. You're going to make your decisions and your opinions based on what those letters say and your own opinions and your own ideas about guns. But that's 10,000 people involved, you know. 500 million others are going to maybe have a different idea. You're going to listen to what you're hearing. You're going to base your opinion on what you're hearing, not by what's actually the opinion of the general public. In other words, Obama, I'm sure, didn't go out and ask for an opinion of everybody. In other words, he didn't put out a poll and ask you what you thought of it. He just came up with his own ideas and based on his ideas and on what he was listening and what he heard. So you gotta. That's the thing is, as a lawmaker, you gotta be a little bit more involved in what's taking place than that. You can't, but you can't, you know. I understand how they're doing this and how they're coming up with it. That's back to my original idea. You make a law, it only lasts for 5 years, and then it gets expunged. You can go back and put it back in law again if you want to, but if you don't do anything with it, it goes away. Because we've got so many stupid laws on the books that we shouldn't have, and we're just letting them stay there. And that's ridiculous.
Exactly. And speaking of, in the last 5 minutes of the program, the White House, Obama administration, created this website that it's called We the People, Your Voice in Our Government, which you can create a petition. And if so many people sign that petition, then the White House is supposed to respond to it. And what was interesting about that time, we talked about on the program, that just about every state in the union requested to secede from the union. And to my knowledge, I checked this site out just periodically. So far, the White House, even though Texas especially, has more than had the required number of signage, has not responded to that request.
Well, see, that's my opinion of Obama. He does things and he says things, he doesn't follow through with things. So that's, to me, to be expected.
Yeah, it's too bad, because I really wanted to hear how they were going to say that. I mean, especially, I could be wrong on this, but I believe Texas is the only state that in its state constitution actually gives them the freedom to secede from it. And, of course, if they did, that would create a whole bunch of logistics problems to begin with.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you're going to have to be a lot more. I mean, in other words, they're not. I don't care how big a group of people answered this, what do you want to call it, website. It wasn't enough people to create an actual law to require someone to do something about seceding from any state seceding from the union. It's going to take more than 30 or 50 or 100,000 people. I mean, even in Oregon, where there's hardly more than 100,000 people, you're going to take a lot more people than that before you're going to get enough people to really do something to cause it to secede. And then when it got out that people were really thinking about it, I don't think people are going to go for it. I really don't.
It's just like, and it's kind of interesting. Maybe we should think about doing this as a regular feature. Here's a ban hammers and baseball bats. And they're pointing to sign that, yeah. 2,000 people signed it.
Well, see, I disagree with that entirely. I you know, we shouldn't ban them. We should make them cheaper. Because, you know, and of course, I don't have a baseball bat. I am old enough, I'm ancient, and I walk with a cane. And believe me, it's going to do just as good as a baseball bat.
Yeah, look out. He's armed dangerous and lame. So I'll
armed and lame.
Yeah, armed and lame. That's probably going to be a new rule. Armed and lame.
Become a new slogan anyway.
We're armed and lame.
Armed and lame, and here we come.
Exactly. And speaking of, we're about out of time here, by the way. And again, send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com, if you like our new Saturday schedule. And thanks to everybody that showed up in the chat room. If you have an idea, you know, again, send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com. And we'll be back again next Saturday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. So,
and we're going to be here, too.
We are going to be here. Starting off the new year, we're hopefully, you know, unfortunately, the technical issues have followed us into the new year. But we do have more things in line coming up, so keep checking us out. And, again, keep sending us those emails and keep, you know, just come back.
Yeah, when you come back, call us. That's what we'd like. Then we can talk to you in person.
Exactly. So, again, we'll all see you next week, you all.
And if you call back and beat up on us, that'll give us a chance to beat up on you back again. Bye.
Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.